Which is grammatically correct, between you and me or between you and I? Plenty of native English speakers would have to think twice, and plenty of others would enjoy criticizing those who got it wrong. In her first book, Between You and Me, Confessions of a Comma Queen, American writer Mary Norris uses humor and anecdote to demystify these shibboleths of standard English grammar. And because, having studied Greek, she understands the struggles of learning another language, she wouldn't judge you if you thought the correct form was between you and I. Back in 1978, Mary Norris, the daughter of Irish immigrants living in Cleveland, Ohio, started work at the prestigious The New Yorker magazine as a proofreader. Her work involved checking the spelling, grammar, and punctuation of articles being prepared for publication, and of course, making sure that every comma was correctly placed. She spent 24 years in the role and became an expert on punctuation, a comma queen. Norris's first book is a fascinating memoir focused on her time at The New Yorker. In it, Norris combines anecdotes about the editorial team and episodes from her family life with practical guidance on grammar and punctuation. In fact, language and life are often closely intertwined. For example, in a section about pronouns, Norris talks about her transgender sister and why using little words like she and he correctly matters so much. Norris spent her working life at The New Yorker proofreading and later writing, too. This weekly magazine has a reputation for high standards in grammar and accuracy. And to maintain this, all articles have to pass through a rigorous series of checks before publication. Norris explains what her role in the process was.
I worked in the copy department. There's also a fact-checking department, and these two departments are the ones who really try hard to make the magazine perfect, to make sure there are no mistakes, and generally, to make the writing as good as we can, without, of course, changing the writer's voice. We're always trying to preserve the individuality of the writer's voice. And many writers do have voices. Some reporters are mainly about providing the information, and in those cases, we just try to make things as clear as we can. Then there are writers who don't like to be that clear, and you just have to try to get them to cooperate as best you can.
Since the success of her first book, Norris has become known as the Comma Queen. But how did that name originate?
Well, I never came up with the term comma queen. That was my agent. And it's worked very well. I finally realized it was a twist on drama queen. And The New Yorker is known for lots of commas. And it was a piece about commas that led to my writing the book, which would be about commas and about many other things. People argue endlessly about things like the serial comma, and that's the comma before and in, say, red, white, and blue. It's supposed to prevent ambiguity, but not in that many cases.
Using punctuation, such as commas, semicolons, and parentheses, to make a text crystal clear was a major part of Norris's work at The New Yorker. So no wonder she's fascinated by the history of punctuation. She shares a few fun facts with us.
When the Greeks developed writing, they developed the alphabet, and they had no cues for the reader at all where one word left off and the next began, where one sentence left off. There were no commas, there were no spaces between words. And I think from the Renaissance, punctuation started developing. And what do we have now? Emojis? Well, punctuation was the emojis of Victorian England. Charles Dickens used as many pieces of punctuation as he could. And now the tendency is more toward minimalism. Use as few marks as you can.